You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Succeed, how we can reach our goals. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Succeed, how we can reach our goals by Heidi Grant Halvorsen. As always, we're going to kick it off with a quote. The important thing is that while achieving your goals is a bit more complicated than just doing three things, it's not overly complicated either. In part one of the book, Get Ready, I'll talk about the key principles of goal setting that seem to be universally true, whether you're pursuing goals at work, in relationships, or for self-development. In part two, Get Set, you'll learn about the different kinds of goals we set for ourselves, focusing on the few distinctions that seem to matter the most. I'll show you how to choose the goal that will work best for you, personally, in your situation. And you'll learn how to instill the most beneficial goals in your children, students, and employees. In part three, Go, I'll take you step by step through the most common reasons why we fail to reach our goals once we've started pursuing them. And you'll learn effective, often simple, and easy-to-implement strategies for avoiding these pitfalls in the future. In the last decade or two, social psychologists have come to know a lot about how goals work. Succeed is my attempt to take that knowledge out of the academic journals and handbooks and spread it around a bit more so that it can do some good. End quote. That is Heidi Grant Halvorsen from Succeed. So, Heidi Grant Halvorsen is one of the world's leading researchers on goal setting. She's also funny, smart, and down to earth. Succeed delivers on its subtitle, providing a lot of big ideas on how we can reach our goals. The book is really good, mixing theory with super practical, scientifically grounded advice. We'll barely scratch the surface in this quick note. It's one of those books where I wish I had 60 pages instead of 6 pages to share all the goodness, but alas, that would kind of defeat the purpose, eh? So I'm excited to pull out a handful of my favorite big ideas we can start applying today. If you're feeling it, I think you'll love the book. You can buy it on Amazon in a link I put into the PDF. For now, let's jump in with the first big idea, the self-control muscle. Quote, if you want more self-control, you can get more. And you can get more self-control the same way you get bigger muscles. You've got to give it regular workouts. The research has shown that engaging in daily activities such as exercising, keeping track of your finances, or what you are eating, or even just remembering to sit up straight every time you think of it, can help you develop your overall self-control capacity. For example, in one study, students who were assigned to and stuck to a daily exercise program not only got physically healthier, but they also became more likely to wash dishes instead of leaving them in the sink, and less likely to be impulsively spending money. End quote. Self-control. We can build it up just like we build up our muscles, and when we build it up in one area, it enhances self-control in other areas. That's incredibly cool. Let's take advantage of little opportunities to train by giving ourselves mini workouts throughout the day. Whether it's resisting the unhealthy food, breathing when we're stuck in traffic, sitting up straight as often as we remember, exercising X times per week, eating more veggies, whatever it is, go out and rock it. And remember that the more energy you put into developing self-control in one area, the more it's going to benefit other areas. Exciting. All right, the next big idea is goal targets. Difficult, but possible. Quote, Edwin Locke and Gary Latham, two eminent organizational psychologists, have spent several decades studying the extraordinary effectiveness of setting specific and difficult goals. In more than 1,000 studies conducted by researchers across the globe, they've found that goals that spell out exactly what needs to be accomplished and that set the bar for achievement high result in far superior performance than goals that are vague or that set the bar too low. And this is true regardless of whether the goal is something you adopt on your own, something you were assigned to complete, or something that you develop jointly with your parent, teacher, boss, or coworkers. End quote. Well, there you go. Over 1,000 studies have been done around the world to scientifically establish the fact that we perform better when we set specific goals that challenge us. Begs the question, what kind of goals are you setting these days? Specific and challenging? keep this in mind. Quote, of course, you shouldn't set goals that are not realistic or are impossible to reach. Difficult but possible is the key. That's because more difficult goals cause you to, often unconsciously, increase your effort, focus, and commitment to the goal, persist longer, and make better use of the most effective strategies. End quote. Reminds me of Tal Ben-Shahar's wisdom from his great book, Happier, see those notes, where he tells us we want to set stretch goals, which are right in between comfort and panic zones, where we stretch enough so that we're out of our comfort zones, but not so far that we snap. Now back to you. What's your number one goal right now? Let's get specific. In the note, I've got space for you to write it down. For now, why don't you go ahead and press pause and think about it. What's your number one challenging goal right now? What is it? What's your number one? Be specific about it. What's your number one challenging, specific, and difficult, yet possible, goal that you have in your life right now? Press pause and think about that. And if you've got something to write on, write it down. All right, I trust you did that little exercise. You've got your number one challenging goal right now. And if you need to go take some action in the direction of that goal, please go for it. We'll wait for you. We'll be here when you get back. Seriously. All right, little PS here. For those curious souls, my number one goal right now is to finish PN2, which is Philosopher's Notes Volume 2, which is another 100 notes on awesome optimal living classics. I'll have the PDFs, the MP3s, and the PNTVs done by August 31st, 2011. This note is number 47, and it's March 28th as I typed that. It's a few days later as I'm recording it. So I have 5 months to get the next 53 done, plus all 100 of the TV episodes. That is a specific, difficult, but possible goal that motivates me and keeps me focused. Wish me luck as I send best regards to you on crushing your number one specific and challenging goal as well. Go get it. All right, the next big idea is confidence in ability and challenges. Quote, women who imagined that the path to weight loss would be easy lost an average of 24 pounds less than those who imagined themselves having a hard time resisting temptation. Odenjin and her colleagues have found the same pattern when looking at students in search of high-paying jobs after college, at single individuals looking to form lasting romantic relationships, and at seniors recovering from hip replacement surgery. No matter who they are and what they are trying to do, we find that successful people not only have confidence that they will eventually succeed, but are equally confident that they will have a tough time getting there. End quote. To recap, successful people are confident that they will be able to achieve their goals, and they are confident that there will be plenty of challenges to overcome in the process. This is a really big idea. And when I say really, I mean, asterisks, all bold, 5 exclamation points, really big. Now, I've read a fair number of goal setting and general self-dev books at this point, and I can't ever remember reading one that referenced these studies. Part of a much longer chat about the overemphasis on the power of intention and vision boards and all that jazz. We're going to talk about that more in a bit. But for now, let's remember that, quote, successful people not only have confidence that they will eventually succeed, but are equally confident that they will have a tough time getting there. And on that note, let's check in on our prior specific and challenging goal and add some obstacles we know we're going to face. In the note, again, we've got some space where you can write down this stuff. So press pause, think about it. If you can write it down, write it down. This is your number one goal. What's your number one goal that you set in the last exercise? All right, got it? Cool. Now, what are some challenges you know you're going to face en route to rocking that goal? Write them down. What are some challenges? Really, really important that you're honest about how challenging it's going to be. It's really easy to ignore this, but science tells us we got to be honest about it. Get excited about your goal, get specific, have it be difficult but possible, and then really take a moment to see what are your challenges you're going to face. It's a big, big idea. We're going to talk about it more in a moment. But for now, well done. And here's a PS to this big idea. For those curious souls, the challenges I'm going to face include the fact that the time is going to go really fast. If I fall behind, I won't hit my goal of creating 100 notes for PN2 by August 31st. And I definitely won't hit my goal unless I force myself to read and write every day. ideally not allowing myself to get online before noon so I don't get distracted and lose a day. That ever happened to you? All right, moving on to the next big idea, daydreaming to rockin' it. Quote, then what is the best way to set goals so that you will reach them without getting stuck daydreaming? The optimal strategy to use when setting a goal seems to be to think positively about how it will be when you achieve your goal while thinking realistically about what it will take to get there. Oettingen refers to this as mental contrasting. First, you imagine attaining your goal, and then you reflect on the obstacles that stand in the way. If you want to get a high-paying job after college, start by imagining yourself accepting an offer at a top firm. And then think about what stands between you and that offer, namely, all the other really outstanding candidates that will be applying for jobs. Kind of makes you want to send out a lot of applications, doesn't it? That's called feeling the necessity to act. It's a psychological state that is crucial for achieving a goal. Daydreaming about how great it will be to land that job or fall in love with that special someone you've had your eye on can be a lot of fun, but it won't get you anywhere. Mental contrasting turns wishes and daydreams into reality by bringing into focus what you will need to do to make it happen, end quote. That's another super saucy idea. Let's unpack it a bit. First, mental contrasting. It's the psychological phrase for imagining our ideal outcome and then contrasting that with all the things that will get in the way of us achieving it. We basically did this in the prior idea, but let's go ahead and do it again for your goal right now. Imagine how awesome it's going to feel to crush your goal. You achieved it. Yes, nice work. Giving you a little pat on the back right now. Now, contrast that with what stands in the way of you achieving that goal. Yep, there's that challenge, and that one, and that one, and don't forget that one. Sweet, so mental contrasting done, check. As you enjoy the pleasant feeling of imagined achievement and the sobering clarity of the challenges involved, don't you feel the necessity to act brewing? Me too. How about a new rule? For every goal we set for ourselves, let's commit to making it specific and appropriately challenging. Then let's do our mental contrasting, imagining attaining the goal and imagining all the obstacles. Then let's take persistent action, confident in our ability to achieve our goals as we get a little better every day facing the inevitable ups and downs. As we do that, we will move to the next big idea. Not all goals are created equal. Quote, as I mentioned earlier, not all goals lead to lasting feelings of true satisfaction and well-being. And that's because not all goals satisfy our needs for relatedness, competence, and autonomy. Which ones do? In general, goals that are about making, supporting, or strengthening relationships do. So do goals that focus on personal growth, physical health, or self-acceptance, addressing your shortcomings, or, if they can't be helped, simply coming to terms with them. Goals that have to do with contributing to your community or helping others also fulfill these needs. Here are the goals that aren't going to help you achieve lasting well-being: becoming famous, seeking power over others, or polishing your public image. Any goal that is related to obtaining other people's validation and approval or external signs of self-worth isn't going to do it for you either. Accumulating wealth for its own sake also won't lead you to real happiness. This is not to say you shouldn't care about money at all, just that being rich isn't a sure ticket to a happy life, end quote. Love it. This is another theme we're exploring often in PN2. Halverson references Edward Deci, the researcher who delineates the science of intrinsic versus extrinsic goals in his classic Why We Do What We Do. Check out those notes for more goodness on that. Really powerful stuff. For now, back to you. Where are you focusing your energy? On developing relationships, personal growth, and making a contribution? Or on going after fame, wealth, or beauty? Choose wisely. And while you do that, keep this gem from Halverson in mind. Quote, all that glitters isn't gold. Goals that are all about obtaining external validation of self-worth, like being popular, famous, or rich, not only won't make you truly happy, but will actively diminish your sense of well-being by interfering with the pursuit of goals that will really benefit you. If you have goals like these in your life, it's time to rid yourself of them. Powerful stuff. Next big idea is getting better versus being good. Quote, my favorite piece of advice by far for dealing with difficulty is to make sure you think about your goal in terms of getting better rather than being good. As you'll recall from chapter 3, when we are focused on personal growth and development, on making progress rather than on proving ourselves, we deal with difficulty far more gracefully. We tend to see setbacks as informative rather than as signs of personal failure. We don't worry as much about the likelihood of success because we know that even if we never do it perfectly, we will certainly improve. And getting better is, after all, the goal. End quote. Getting better versus being good. Those are two different orientations we can have in life and in goal setting, and they roughly map over Carol Dweck's growth versus fixed mindset. So you can check out the notes on mindset for more goodness on that. The basic idea is this. When we approach life with a being good mindset, we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. We're paranoid that any blunder we make might be the evidence that shows the world how messed up we are. So we avoid taking action and freak out when we inevitably do mess up. Eek. On the other hand, when we approach life with a getting better mindset, we know we're not perfect. We're not trying to prove ourselves, and we embrace challenges as they provide the path to growth, which, rather than looking good, is our primary goal. Setbacks are simply data points for us, not signs that we're unalterably flawed. So, how do you tend to show up? Do you approach life with a being good mindset or a getting better mindset? Check in on that and know this, quote, if you focus on growth instead of validation, on making progress instead of proving yourself, you are less likely to get depressed because you won't see setbacks and failures as reflecting your own self-worth. And you are less likely to stay depressed because feeling bad makes you want to work harder and keep striving. You get up off the couch, dust off the potato chip crumbs, and get busy getting better. End quote. Amen. Here's to focusing on getting better rather than worrying about being good. We've got one more big idea here. Here we go. What about visualizing success? Quote, what about visualizing success? I won't name names, but it seems like there are an awful lot of self-help books out there telling people that if they just picture what they want in their minds, it will somehow happen. That would be great if it were true, but scientifically speaking, there really isn't much evidence for it. On the other hand, visualization can be very helpful if you imagine the steps you will take in order to succeed rather than the success itself. Mentally simulating the process of achieving the goal rather than the hoped-for outcome not only results in a more optimistic outlook, but in greater planning and preparation. Picture yourself doing what it takes to succeed, and you will soon find yourself believing that you can. The best part is, you'll be absolutely right. End quote. This is really powerful stuff, and I love how politely Halvorsen puts it. So, visualization. As Halvorsen tells us, there are an awful lot of self-help books out there telling people to visualize the outcomes they want to create in their lives. And then, of course, creating a vision board fully documenting it all. That approach sells in a culture looking for quick fixes and easy solutions. But it isn't very effective. What would be a lot more effective would be visualizing the actions you're going to take to achieve your goals. As Halvorsen advises, quote, don't visualize success. Instead, visualize the steps you will take in order to succeed. Just picturing yourself crossing the finish line doesn't actually help you get there, but visualizing how you run the race, the strategies you will use, the choices you will make, the obstacles you will face, not only will give you greater confidence, but also leave you better prepared for the task ahead. And that is definitely realistic optimism, end quote. Powerful stuff, but that's only part of the problem. As we discussed above, all goals aren't good for us. And the fact is that most gurus telling us to create vision boards get us focused on the wrong goals. So, in addition to moving from visualizing outcomes to visualizing action steps, it would be wise to take a close look at your vision board and see how much of the stuff on it is a representation of the extrinsic goals, like wealth, fame, and beauty, you think will make you happy. If your vision board is packed with huge mansions, signs of wealth, you on Oprah, signs of fame, and hot people walking on beaches, that would be beauty, you may want to think about throwing it away. Those are the wrong goals. To repeat, we scientifically know that disproportionately focusing on that stuff does not lead to happiness. In fact, research shows that focusing on those extrinsic goals will make you significantly less psychologically stable than peeps who focus on intrinsic goals like deep relationships, personal growth, and contributing to their communities. So, here's to visualizing the steps we can take to deepen our relationships, live with more virtue, and make contributions to our communities and experience true success. Well, there you go. That's a quick look at this great book, Succeed, by Heidi Grant Halvorsen. Now, I'm going to give you a few other notes you might like if you enjoyed this one. I think you'd really enjoy the note on mindset, why we do what we do, and happier. How about a couple, actually several quotes from the sidebar? We've got some good ones here. They're all from Heidi, unless I mentioned otherwise. Just like goals, not all plans are created equal. An effective plan is one that spells out exactly what will be done and where and how. She tells us, metaphorically speaking, if your unconscious mind can hold information equivalent to a NASA supercomputer, your conscious mind can hold roughly the contents of a post-it note. She says, the bottom line is, whenever possible, try to turn your goals from being good to getting better. And if you choose get better goals, you have greater success because you enjoy the process of getting better. So sometimes you really can have your cake and eat it too. She tells us, there are boatloads of very successful, very unhappy people all around us. That's because they have successfully pursued goals that don't actually fulfill their basic needs as human beings. The needs for relatedness, competence, and autonomy. If you believe that you are having a hard time reaching your goal because you lack the necessary ability and that you can't do much to change that, well, there's no way to put this nicely. You are wrong. Effort, planning, persistence, and good strategies are what it really takes to succeed. Heidi tells us, when you study achievement, one of the first things you learn is that innate ability, to the extent there is such a thing, has surprisingly little to do with success. Persistence, on the other hand, has a lot to do with it. She tells us, ultimately, people who think that reaching their goal will be a breeze simply aren't prepared for what lies ahead of them, and they can be devastated when the dream that they've enjoyed dreaming about so much doesn't actually come true. She tells us, it's also important when you set goals to make them difficult while still being realistic. You want to challenge yourself and set the bar high because challenges really get the motivational juices flowing, while avoiding goals that are more or less improbable. Stopping before you start is an excellent strategy to keep your need for self-control to a minimum. And then we have a quote from Carol Dweck, who tells us, all of the work you will read about here sheds light on the most basic processes of human motivation and has been held to the highest standards of research. That's what makes this book so exceptional. Carol Dweck wrote the foreword to the book. She is also the author of the book Mindset that we mentioned a couple of times. Check out the note on that. Great stuff. Hope you enjoyed this quick look at Succeed, How We Can Reach Our Goals by Heidi Grant Halvorsen. What's the number one big idea you got from this note today? Write it down, capture the idea intellectually, and then figure out how you're going to embody it. What specifically are you going to do to take these ideas, that one big idea, and apply it to your life today? Get on that. Good luck with that. And I hope you enjoyed. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have another awesome day. Thanks for your support. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.